Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the haunted castle house with owner Dr. Steve Skinner. So let's talk about some of the paranormal activity in the house and things that have happened to you, but as well as some of the paranormal investigation groups that have been in there. Do you find that they sometimes get different groups will have a similar experience? Do you feel it's kind of different spirits? What are you feeling there that's going on?
With the different groups that come through, I think every group has had at least something happen. And that's encouraging because, you know, a lot of places you go, one night is incredibly active. The next night, there's absolutely nothing. And we've been pretty fortunate that I think everybody's come out having at least a little something occur. And we often have, you know, similar findings, which is wonderful. We try to pick their brains after they leave or have them follow up with evidence so we can kind of compile things. But we get a whole host of different paranormal activities. Judy had her probably scariest event outside of the banging. Yeah, the banging that first night. This was the next year. I'm out in the backyard, middle of the summer, doing some digging, and she decides to bring some water out to me. And as she is walking out, there's a piece of furniture that has a mirror in it. And she thought she saw something walk behind her from the dining room to the parlor, but she thought, oh, that's just my eyes playing tricks. So she brings it out, brings me the water. We talk for a minute and I ask her for another bottle, and she, you know, goes in to get it. And as she goes into the dining room, she said it just started feeling really heavy, just an odd feeling in the room. She takes a couple more steps, and then she describes what it was like. An oval opened up in front of her about eye level. And there was this older lady you could see from like the shoulders up. She had, you know, her face, and she had her hands raised up. And it was like, you know, she was screaming, but there was no sound. And she kind of was a grayish white. It was, you know, kind of like you're seeing something in black and white. And then the oval shrunk down and was gone. And to her credit, wow, she ran on through that to the kitchen, got my water and ran back out.
So she still got the water.
She did. She was incredibly brave. And so we run back in, set up equipment. Of course, we didn't get anything. And then for the next week or so in that same area, we had one investigator and one gentleman that was there on a tour in that room just get really disoriented and sick feeling and just had to leave the house. And then the rest of the time, you know, that room still feels pretty much normal. The day after Judy had that little face appear, she was in the kitchen. And we have this tea decanter sitting on top of the refrigerator, and it's been there since we moved here. And the decanter came off and hit her on the shoulder. And, you know, it's a pretty heavy decanter. And so we set it back up there, shook the refrigerator, walked back and forth. And, you know, we don't see it inching up or moving forward. And, you know, it's still there now, 4 years after the incident. So I don't know if that was the lady that was trying to suggest Judy wasn't as welcome maybe, or, you know, we've had a couple of psychics say there's a matriarch here that's fine with another man, but not with a female, not with another lady. And so not sure if there's anything to that or not, but that's kind of the only maybe mean incident we've had happen. When I was in that master bedroom one night, I got woken up twice, something pushing with like a cold finger on my forehead. Had somebody sit down on the bed just after I laid down. They sat down and I could feel the mattress go in and feel their backside up against my leg. I've seen a lady that looked like she's about shoulder height in that room. It was kind of a black and white image of her. I saw a lady at the top of the stairs, a different lady that was looking down kind of disapprovingly. I've seen a little blonde haired boy in the house two or three times. Saw him once in this kind of a closet that's underneath the stairs. Saw him one night when we were getting ready to leave. And when we're the night before we leave, I'm not ghost hunting at all. I'm thinking, you know, what all needs to be tucked away so the house will be stable. And I came around the corner of the bed and this little boy was sitting at the top of the stairs. His hands were folded. His head was laying on him. And he was just staring at me like, who are you and what are you doing in my house? And then he just disappeared. Two different teams have seen what they describe as that exact same little boy. So he's our most popular or most commonly seen spirit here. We get to wow. hear our voices called out. I've heard what I thought was Judy calling me and it wasn't. She's heard me call her and it wasn't. I heard somebody just wailing on the back porch. I thought Judy had gotten a call from home that somebody had passed, ran back there. there's nobody there. And we've had several groups that have heard a crying woman here. There's the pass-through closet. One of the doors doesn't shut. The door to go into the master bedroom, you can shut it, but it won't latch. So the latch isn't there in the jam. That door sometimes will wiggle or vibrate on its own. We've gotten it on our motion detector. During a tour one night, the door came open about 2.5 foot and slammed shut in front of us. The other door that goes into the other bedroom, that door shuts really, really well. Sometimes it's a little hard to open. That door opens on its own periodically. We've caught it on our video camera. We've had other guests that have either seen it or caught it on their camera. There's times we'll smell old perfume, an old lady's perfume here. We hear whistling sometimes. We see a shadow walking down the hall. Seen a shadow walking in the parlor. We hear like the furniture moving around upstairs, and we'll run up to see it. And, you know, everything's exactly where it should be, but Judy and I both hear it. Or sometimes we've heard it when we've had guests here. There's a lot to go on.
Does anybody have any ideas, you know, through maybe a paranormal investigation of who might be haunting the house? But when you look back, there's been so many people who have lived in that house.
Well, you know, the investigators that have come up, you know, with a couple names. We think we may have come up with a couple names. And, you know, we're kind of hesitant to say too much because being in a small town, you know, we don't want to make anybody uncomfortable and, you know, feel their descendants still here. But, you know, with the lady crying on the back porch, you know, we think it possibly may have been the spouse of one of the gentlemen who passed away here. Mm-hmm. Several other groups have heard, you know, the lady crying. And so I hate to go beyond that, but we do have some ideas as to who may be here. The little boy, we honestly don't have any idea. We think possibly it could have been a child who was treated by one of the doctors here. Two different psychics felt like they saw a little boy at the top of the stairs or in this additional room that had a cut on his stomach. They couldn't say for sure if it was a surgical cut or a traumatic cut. And you may be familiar with one of the tools called a Boo Buddy. It's a little teddy bear that's programmed to say different things in a child's voice. It's supposed to try to interact and draw a child out. We had the Boo Buddy set up in one of the rooms, and it says something that's not on script. It really sounds like it says, "The cut is right in my tummy."
Oh.
Sent a clip to that from the guy that I bought it from, who's very involved with the paranormal, super, super guy. And he said, yeah, it can't say that. That's not on script. And he talked with the manufacturer and said they don't have any good explanation as to how it could do that. We also had in one of our rooms, we had a static camera set up in there, and we have an older person's voice screaming out, either get out now or get out of my house. So, I'm sorry, getting back to the little boy, I don't know if he might have been a patient that passed away here, or if he just is some spirit that was passing through and decided he liked this house.
You know, it's interesting with some of these stories, like you just said, the boy saying, get out of the house, or what exactly that was. It kind of feels like there's some spirits that really want to be there alone. Do you pick up on that? Like the woman who kind of presented herself to your wife when she saw that apparition, you know, that feels frightening. Or the woman outside crying, or somebody in your ear doing that, which would terrify me. But it really would. I'd be like, I'm done, Steve. I am getting in my car, heading to a Best Western, wherever I could find one. But you know, do you feel sometimes that it's a dark thing? And then other times, does it feel a little bit more welcoming?
It really does. We've again had some psychics, and with psychics, just backing up, you know, when I came into the paranormal world, I really thought that was all hogwash too. And we had a lady out here who did some readings for folks. And this lady, she was amazing. I mean, at least that one night, she got stuff. She told Judy and I stuff. She was just, there's no way that she could have known some of the things that she did. So at least that lady that night was on. And so that's made me take the things other psychics say a little bit more serious. We've had a couple say they thought this place was almost like a crossroads or a pass through that maybe it's because of all the limestone it's on or the aquifer that's underneath that or our little wet water streams under, but something seems to attract a lot of different spirits and a lot of them are just passing through. With all the investigations that have come by or come through, there may have been something attached that came here and stayed. But I do get a feel that there's a mixture, that there are some who would prefer to be left alone and others that, that seem to want to interact some. So, you know what, there's a little girl voice that Judy and I both have heard that says like, hey, like it's wanting us to turn around and see it. So, yeah, I think we have an interesting mixture here.
So using this house as a lab, what kind of things has it kind of influenced how you think about the paranormal? Has it been, I don't know if fun's the right word, but has it done its job as a lab for you?
Yeah, it really has. And you know, when you start looking at this, I mean, what authority do you go to? Like in my medical world, you know, there's clearly textbooks and there's well-known individuals and people and sources you can go to get advice and guidelines and currently accepted theories. In the paranormal world, you know, you're kind of on your own. There's a lot of people out there that have been doing it a long time, but none of us really know what in the world's going on. So, you know, we've tried using a variety of different equipment out here from, you know, a lot of the things you see on TV, the SLS X-Cam, which has actually been pretty fascinating. I think I've gotten things interacting with me a few times on that. We've gotten a UV camera we modified and used some filters on to get rid of the red and green lights because that gives you a vision that's much more like what a dog or a cat sees. Mm. I haven't caught anything on that, but I think most of us feel that dogs and cats may be a little bit more sensitive. And if their vision accounts for it, I keep hoping that will maybe bring something out. You know, we've tried a lot of different communication attempts. We've tried Ouija boards, pendulums, scrying, seances, sensory deprivation. You know, we just try everything that I hear about. And there doesn't seem to be a whole lot that's real consistent. That the things that we've noticed that, at least for this house, tend to be the best at bringing something out. We've noticed the month of May has been our most active month. We've noticed when we light candles, we get a lot more interaction. Playing period music sometimes seems to bring a little interaction. And I think, you know, possibly the costumes, you know, when we dress up in kind of Victorian clothing in October, that may have a little, maybe an impetus to bring out a little more interaction. But outside of that, we see just as much in daytime as we do at nighttime. If I'm investigating by myself versus having a group, there doesn't seem to be much bearing on it. You know, men versus women, there doesn't seem to be much, you know, variance on it. Skeptics get to see stuff and believers do. So I think it's doing a great job as a lab. It's just getting a lot of data that's not showing me a whole lot right now.
Do you keep a logbook of all the experiences that you've had?
Yes, ma'am. We write things down or we do audio recordings of them. And then, you know, we try to look back and see, okay, you know, is any pattern showing up? And so far, you know, the only patterns have been May and candles and music and possibly the dress.
Have you, and you just mentioned skeptics, have you had other people come in skeptical and then left not so skeptical?
We have. Most of the skeptics are men that are either husbands, boyfriends, or fiancés. They tend to, you know, come in just trying to, you know, make their spouse or their girlfriend happy. And we had one of the gentlemen had to leave the house because he just felt so terribly uncomfortable in the same room where Judy's face appeared. You know, we had a gentleman who was here with his fiance and she was really into it and he had to go to the bathroom. So he stepped away and went into the bathroom and screamed and ran out because he said he saw a little boy standing in the bathtub. And so, yeah, it was definitely both of those gentlemen left as believers.
Because that's a thing. If you haven't had the experience before, then how can you believe in the paranormal? Because it doesn't exist to you. But once you've had it happen and you can't explain it, then you have to kind of believe what you saw. Or you're going to believe that you're crazy. It's kind of one of the, maybe it's a little bit of both.
I'll tell you, after the Crescent episode, for me, I really thought, you know, maybe I'd lost my mind a little bit. And I was so thankful that things were recorded because I could go back and, you know, look at it and see, no, that really happened. And I slowly started talking to some friends I'd known forever and said, I know this will sound crazy, but I just need to bounce this off somebody. Here's what happened. And pretty much every single one of them said, well, now that you've told me, let me tell you what happened to me this one time. And it could have been when they were a child or just last week, but they said, you know, you just don't talk about it much. And it really feels good to be able to say it and, you know, not be judged.
I know the feeling. And it's interesting, especially now that I talk about the paranormal all day, every day. It's funny that people will kind of seek me out to tell me their story because they know it's a safe place for them. Huh. And I totally understand that because I grew up in a haunted house and just that feeling of people aren't going to believe me. And there was a feeling of embarrassment, to be honest. I didn't want to be the girl known as the girl living in the haunted house. I didn't like that at all. I wanted anything to be happening other than that. But, you know, when it's happening, you can't deny it.
Yeah.
When you hear someone walking around in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that gets kind of hard to ignore, especially when you're young. And, you know, you go to parents. I don't know in your case, but I know a lot of people said their parents said, no, you know, you're just dreaming. They always blew it off. And when you know you're awake and not, that's kind of a scary situation.
My dad acknowledged it. He had several things that happened to him. My mom was more like, I don't know, you kids. And then... As an adult, she's told me these stories, and I'm like, how did you not think that was connected? Oh, well, I never really thought about it.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, as a child, that made me start thinking too about imaginary friends. And I had a nurse working for me that had a little girl who would see people come out of the corner of her room at night and talk to her, both. And this little girl told her dad about it and told her about it. And so I said, you know, can we investigate? And they weren't really too crazy about it, but they allowed me to give her a couple of audio recorders. And so my nurse played put the audio recorders out in her room and went to bed and then brought them to me the next day. And on the audio recorder, you hear this little girl just kind of babbling. And in her room, there's no TV. There's nothing that makes any voices. And then you hear the little girl go, you, George, stop, stop. And then when she screams, stop, you hear a male voice say, whisper. And then the little girl starts screaming for her mom. And when her mom finally gets there, she said, something going to get me. And so that blew my mind, too. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, what all is going on? Or imaginary friends, sometimes not so imaginary. And so they didn't want to do anything else. They sold their house and, you know, didn't have any problems afterwards. But so many possibilities. And I just fascinated with it all.
Fascinating to me. You know, so often you just shrug it off. Oh, it's your imagination. But, you know, I think there's this very thin veil with children. And I do think they can communicate easier. And that would be pretty terrifying to have the nurses like, Dr. Skinner, here's what's happening at my house. And then you go, yeah, it is. That I don't know what I would, as a parent, what you do with that information other than to find another place to live.
Yeah, that was their only option. They didn't want to explore anything else, didn't want to stir anything up. And, you know, I think there's some thought that if you ignore things, it often goes away. And if you acknowledge it, it often acts up a little more. But, you know, after the imaginary friend thing, I started looking into like EEG patterns, the electroencephalograph patterns on the brain, and the patterns that young children have and the really elderly and people with certain mental issues, particularly schizophrenia. The brainwave patterns are fairly similar with those, and all three of those groups seem to report seeing more things. So, you know, if your brainwaves are a little different than what we consider just the normal adult pattern, does that make you more sensitive or in tune to it, or does it have nothing to do with it at all? You know, I don't know. So many questions.
And I think that there are some people like your daughter who probably was open to things and believed in it. You, as a scientist, you need the proof. You know, yes. You're a doctor, and I want to see the proof. I want to see the studies. I want to see the results from the studies. And this is kind of a grayer area, so that had to have been a little bit of a leap for you to admit it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I think is kind of encouraging, you know, for people as a whole with this is, you know, it's becoming much more accepted, obviously, in the general population. But within the scientific community, there's a whole lot more believers than people would think. They're just afraid to say it because, you know, they're not supposed to accept those things. But amongst my peers, there's several who've had experiences. You know, there's just a lot more interest in it. And, you know, science has a history of being a little bit arrogant and prideful and thinking, you know, what we know is all there is. But, you know, it's just not true. And one of my favorite quotes was from Max Planck, the physicist who came up with the quantum theory. And he basically said, science advances one funeral at a time, that new scientific truth doesn't come about by persuading people. It comes about by the opponents dying off. And so, you know, I think what's still considered paranormal now may, you know, be considered perfectly normal, you know, 50 years from now. Maybe we'll learn about different dimensions or different, you know, frequencies that beings exist at, and we'll be able to interact with that more. But anyway, I don't think anybody needs to feel any shame when they experience these things. I think it's they're probably more right than not.
I 100% agree. Now, with your schedule, you obviously aren't there all the time, but they can go to your website and you do have a way to contact you and work out a night where somebody can come do a overnight investigation, one of your 4-hour ghost hunts, or even do the candlelight tours in October that you were talking about?
Yes, ma'am. Website is hauntedcastlehouse.com. And then we also, we have a presence on Facebook. It's Haunted Castle House as well. So we're pretty easy to get in touch with. Sometimes, you know, it may be a day or two before I can get back with somebody, but we try to respond as quick as we can.
But check out the website. There's a lot of really good information. I liked reading all about the former residents of the house, and I found it very interesting. There was a lot of people who have lived there, and a couple people for quite a while, but there was a lot of 2 to 3 year only.
Yeah, I looked at it. We're actually the 22nd owner of the house.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it turns over about every 6.5 years on average.
Yeah. So. You know, I have a family house that my great-great-grandfather built as a first trading post. It was a trading post, and he had a house there in Nebraska. And then it went from him to his son, and then it ends up my cousin lives there. So that's only been people in my family have ever lived in this house. And by the way, it looks as haunted as it sounds. And I've asked him about that, and he's like, oh, this is a very haunted house. But that's interesting. So it's a little bit newer of a house because it was Nebraska. You know, I think it was probably 1870s. It was built because it was after the Civil War. And, you know, so when you think about that house, there might be four people who have 4 or 5 families that have lived there, all related.
Right.
This house, though, with all the different people there, and then used as, you know, doctors are there and they're bringing in sick patients. So who knows what, and then what happened on the land before then, you know, it is in Missouri and there's Civil War activity going on there.
Yeah, the first owner, Reverend McComb, he was in Company D, the Missouri Home Guard, and their camp was a half mile from the property, actually abutted up against it. There's a creek that they camped along. So he was there June to December of 1861. And, you know, he and his buddies would have walked back and forth periodically. And the Osage Indians were here. I found some skinning stones, a bone that was made into a skinning object, some arrowheads. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history here.
So you can go look on the website. There's some pictures of some of the people who used to live there. There's some evidence. So it's real interesting. HauntedCastleHouse.com. And Steve, this has been such an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, you're welcome. I've long listened to this podcast. I'm honored to be able to get to talk with you.
Yeah, I was real surprised when I reached out and you're like, wait, I'm a gravekeeper. I'm like, what? I loved it.
I listen to you guys all the time when I'm out back digging or mowing or doing things here. So,
So it's not haunted enough. You're listening to ghost haunted stories as you're there. You're just inviting it in.
Absolutely.
And that wraps up our conversation about the Haunted Castle House with owner Dr. Steve Skinner. If you would like to read more about its history or get information on tours, paranormal investigations, or the candlelight tours, visit their website at hauntedcastlehouse.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and everything is there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.